We're looking at, and of course, we're doing lesson three, and we're looking at the church in terms of the mission of the church, and taking the things that we've seen so far in our study, the compassion that Jesus had, his willingness to die for people's lives, for their souls, and then, okay, let's translate that over to the church, and looking at really the first five chapters of the book of Acts. And looking at what was going on in the early church, what were they doing to spread the gospel? Last week, we spent most of our time in the first part there on the first inside page there. Their mission was certain. We talked a lot last week about the pressures that they felt, the pressures that we feel oftentimes in terms of trying to share the gospel. This morning, I want to begin in section 2 here, where it talks about prayer. Their meeting was prayerful. Okay? So there's a lot of praying going on in the first several chapters of Acts. All right? So we want to look at some of that. We want to talk about, the effects of prayer and how can we use prayer like they did. All right? So Acts chapter 1... in verse 14, okay? They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That is, those of the disciples. They were gathered together. This is, again, after Jesus has gone back to heaven. What's the situation? What's going on at this particular time with the disciples of Jesus? What are some of the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and so forth that must have been going on with them? I'm sorry?
Confusion.
Confusion about what?
What they were supposed to do next.
Okay.
What life was going to be about.
Okay. Confusion in terms of, you know, what's going to happen to us? What are we supposed to be doing? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What's going to happen? What's going on? What's next? Okay? What else? What other kind? Chuck?
Jesus promised them that he would not leave them.
Okay. Okay? All right. So there's kind of this waiting, kind of maybe a wait and see kind of thing. Faith is a big part of that. Okay, what else? Wes?
I think these kids had a great deal of fear.
Okay.
That they were experiencing because of how they were still coming together and more or less keeping sort of a secret in certain places.
Okay.
And certain people knew where they were, even though they were letting people know that they didn't know about Christ.
Okay.
They were preaching, but they wasn't as out in the open as publicly as because they were still being persecuted.
Okay.
Knowing what happened to Jesus.
All right. Yeah. In actuality, at this particular point, they're just hiding, aren't they?
Yeah.
The leader of this group has been crucified publicly. And, he rose again. They saw him. They talked to him. 40 days or so was about the time. But now he's gone back to heaven. What are we going to do? Fear. What's going to happen again? What's going to happen to us? Okay.
So, probably want to get out of town.
Okay, yeah. Perhaps so. It's like, this is not a safe place for us. Mm-hmm. All right. What else? Any other thoughts on that? So, if you go back up to verse 12, all right, they're gathered together. They go to Jerusalem. And it lists, those who are there. And then in the verse we read, verse 14, all of those, that is the disciples, except for Judas Iscariot, okay, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, okay? So they are joined together constantly in prayer. The first thing here that we have, their responsibility to the Lord and to the world demanded that they pray. Okay? They knew they needed wisdom and boldness from the Father if they were to witness to all the world. Now, if you go down in verse 24, okay, now they are choosing a replacement for Judas, right? They got to find somebody to take his place, and what do? Okay. They propose a couple of people here that meet the criteria, and then they pray. Right? Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. So, they all joined constantly in prayer, and then this particular specific prayer. Right? What is that telling us about them at this particular point? What's it showing us?
And they were trying to work together in agreement of what the Lord had in mind for them to do.
Okay, all right. The key here is what the Lord has in mind, right? As you said, their prayer specifically about this situation is what? Lord, show us who you've chosen for this. Acknowledging that God already has that person in mind. He's already chosen that person. He just needs to let them know, and that's what they're asking him to do. Right? What can we learn from that prayer in our own lives, generally, and when it comes to evangelism? Okay, meaning what? Okay. Okay. So we need to acknowledge and recognize that the Lord knows men's hearts. Okay, what else?
To show us when we have an opportunity. Because sometimes it's after the fact when we think about, oh, I feel that. So we could ask to show us when an opportunity
okay.
is there, because he already knows.
All right, okay. Good. What else? Okay.
He's going to make a decision whether to be that
way. Okay.
What he wants.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the main things that I want us to focus on in this is so often when we pray, what are we typically doing when we pray? Yeah. You know, it's like, God, here's my wish list. It's like Santa Claus. You know, here's what I need, and God, here's how I want you to take care of it for me. I mean, we oftentimes even tell him that, right? God, if you will just do this, you know, then everything will work out okay. You know, or then, you know, I'd be happy, or, you know, this situation would be worked out, this would be, you know, whatever. We typically tell God what we want, what we need, and then tell him how we want it to be taken care of. In this prayer, we don't see any of that, do we? See? they recognize that there is a need in the church that needs to be filled, this vacancy among the apostles. And their whole approach to it is not that, okay, God, we've already selected, who we think would be the best one. We need your stamp of approval on it. Right? Okay. No, it didn't happen that way. They narrowed the search down, so to speak, by certain criteria. Right? That had to be someone who'd been with Jesus, with him the whole time. Right? Okay. And then their whole approach to it was, okay, God, show us which one you've chosen to fill this spot. Okay. So how does that translate into our everyday prayer and needs and situations and circumstances? How can we translate that into our prayer life? Okay, yeah, basically, okay, God, here's the problem. I don't know what your solution is, but please reveal that to me. Something along that line. How about that? Brian? Okay. Which is nothing wrong with that, by the way.
That's what he wants us to do.
Right.
But I also ask him, especially when I'm approaching something that I know.
Okay.
And I'm going to mess it up.
Okay.
Because anger is in there for something that has angered me. I ask him, Lord, you show me.
Okay.
You tell me what to say. And I just be quiet because if I open my mouth, I'm going to mess it up.
Okay. What else? Any other thought on that, Wes?
We also had to ask the Lord to help us to be willing to go with what the decision is. Because sometimes, like the Bible saying, it's not that we don't see what the answer is. We don't want to accept what it is.
We don't like the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it got to be another way. That can't be what God wants me to do. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't go through that much problem. That's not good for me. I don't care for that.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we have to also ask the Lord to help us to be willing to accept what He shows us or brings us, reveals to us to do, and give us the strength and courage to go through, especially.
Yeah, with kids, sometimes they go to one parent and they ask for something, and the parent says no, and what do? They go to the other parent. Do you think that I don't think maybe consciously we do this, but in effect, isn't it where we go to the Father and we pray to the Father about something and we don't get the answer, so let's go pray to Jesus for a while. You see, and maybe we'll get a different answer if we pray to Him. Again, I'm not sure that we consciously do that kind of thing, but it's just that idea that we don't like the answer, so let's try something different here. And oftentimes, that different is not accepting the answer, but it's trying to find another way to get the answer that we want. You see, but. Especially when it comes to teaching, to preaching, to even sitting down and studying with someone about the Word. And we've talked about this idea a lot, that, you know, oftentimes we don't necessarily feel comfortable. We don't necessarily know, you know, what to say or things of that nature. That's where prayer needs to come in. You know, we talk about that confidence and so forth. I've been preaching now, I'm working on 37 years. And I still, you know, every time before I get up to speak, Bible class, worship this morning, every Sunday morning, Wednesday, before I talk, I go to God in prayer and I ask Him through His Spirit to guide me in what He wants me to teach. What does He want me to say today? Okay? And I do that because I recognize and know my own shortcomings. And I want Him, by His Spirit, to guide me, to help me, to tell you what He wants me to say. And I think He's been doing a fairly good job of that over 36 some odd years. Okay? You know, I just want to encourage you. I do the same thing when I sit down to study with somebody. You know, to ask Him to guide the study. Tell me what He wants me to share. And there's so many times, you know, this stuff that I have, and I do, you know, a PowerPoint and notes and outline and all those things for lessons, but I don't have everything written down that I'm going to say. Okay, so a lot of the stuff that I say as I'm up here talking or whatever, it's not stuff that I thought of and said, okay, you know, here I want to cover this, I want to cover that. A lot of it is, but a lot of it's not. Where's that come from? The stuff that's just all of a sudden, it's coming out of my mouth. I haven't thought about it beforehand. That's, to me, that's how God is answering the prayer. Okay? And we need to have that kind of approach. God, show us and show me what to do with this person that you brought into my life. What you have already decided. You see? And what you want me to do, what you want me to say, what have you. Seeking the Lord's guidance. That's what these disciples were doing here. Okay? Brian, thought? Not yet.
They didn't have it at all. They were like, just like we are now, like fear and doubt and all that stuff. And they were coming to prayer, and they're constant prayer with guidance and direction.
Okay.
Because as we read on, we see a totally different boldness of the apostles. They were willing to die different than when Christ did. They wouldn't accept the cross the way they were.
Okay. Okay.
And that's what we need to be doing. We're not in that confidence area to be able to teach. So to have that boldness, we need to be in prayer constantly. Because that's what the apostles, when you see the difference they had before and after.
Okay. What's the difference from when, you know, here they're praying, they're going to God and they're asking, but you're right, they don't have the boldness, but then all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, and therefore they have the boldness. What's the difference? Holy Spirit, right? Okay. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to teach and so forth. How many spirits are there? Just one. Okay. You and I have the same spirit, don't we? They did. Now, not given in the same measure as what they were given, but it's the same spirit, right? So, shouldn't we therefore have the same kind of boldness and so forth to teach and to tell people about the Lord? Got the same spirit within us, working on the same mission that they had.
Same tools.
So we should have the same then kind of boldness in doing that, okay? Look at the next question under there. How often did they pray together? And then for what do you think they prayed? And let's go and look at some of these different prayers and so forth. What did you find in answering this particular question? How often did you find that they prayed together, first of all? What are some of the different situations and circumstances? All right, we've already looked at chapter 1, verses 14 and verse 24, right? How about chapter 2 and verse 42? What does it say there? Somebody read that for us. They devoted themselves to what?
Apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer.
Ah, okay. So they were devoted to those four things, right? That is, these are now the disciples, those who have been converted to Christ. The church all of a sudden has had this growth spurt, right? 3,000 people added to their number that day. And then that's what it says about the early church. They devoted themselves to these four things. All right? To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All right? So, what does it mean to be devoted to something? Okay. Dedicated. Any other thoughts on that? What does that, when you devote yourself to something, okay, yeah, it's moved up on the priority list, hasn't it, in your life? Okay? And usually that kind of indicates that it's where? At the top. Okay? And so they've devoted themselves to these four things, one of them which is prayer. Okay? What about, let's see, verse 31. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Yeah, I think that's what I was going to go through. No, that's not the one I want to go to. I think it's... Verse 431. Is that the one I'm looking for? Yes. I'm looking in the wrong place here. I have to 424, first of all. I've got it right here and I'm reading it wrong. I got the right numbers here, I'm just reading it wrong. 4 and verse 24, first of all. Okay. Peter and John have been arrested. Right? They're dragged before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin doesn't want them doing what they're doing, preaching the name of Christ. They have this confrontation with them in terms of basically they tell them stop preaching and teaching in this name. If you don't, we're going to get after you, kind of a thing. Okay? You got to stop doing this or we're going to get you. All right? And verse 19, Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And look at verse 21. After further threats, they let them go. All right? So, verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Okay? So after this threat, and this stop doing this, okay, we're going to punish you, they go back and tell everybody what's happened, and they all go to God in prayer. Somebody read the prayer here, if you don't mind, please. The second part of verse 24 on down through verse 29, 30 rather. Somebody got that? Okay. What are some of the things, and this is the next question on here, we're kind of putting both of these together. What are some of the things specifically that they prayed about here?
Boldness.
Okay, boldness. Enable us to speak with boldness. Okay. What else did they pray about? Do what now? Okay, for the work to continue. What else? Okay, do signs and wonders.
Wisdom.
First of all, they're just praising God, aren't they? Notice one of the things that's here is, what do they acknowledge here about the fact that Jesus was crucified by, you know, Pontius Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and the Jewish leaders? What do they acknowledge about all of that taking place? Yeah, it was according to his plan, right? What it says here, that you did, they did what your power and will decided beforehand should happen. Okay? So again, goes back to acknowledging who's in control of all of this. God is. All of these things happen, we acknowledge and recognize that all these things happen because it was according to your power, your plan. In other words, recognizing that none of that would have happened if God didn't want it to. See? Sometimes we need to look at things from the other side of it. You see, to get maybe a different message or a clearer message. You see, and to recognize that, you know, as many people talk about today, well, Jesus' death, burial, you know, and all that was, you know, his crucifixion was a mistake. He failed at his mission, and, you know, and so now we got to wait for him to come back the next time, and maybe the next time he'll do a better job at it. And that's what people actually teach today. Okay? But here, these disciples are acknowledging what? It wasn't a failure. He accomplished exactly what God's will and power decided beforehand should happen. Okay? So, stretch out your hand to perform miraculous signs and wonders. Enable us to speak your word with great boldness. These are the things that these disciples recognized in that circumstance and situation, what they needed to accomplish what the Lord's task for them was. Is it any different for us today? We definitely need to be asking God to help us to speak with boldness, right? Okay, what about the signs and the miracles and wonders and so forth? They prayed specifically that God would do those kinds of things amongst them. Do we need to be praying for that same thing today? Okay. Yes? Is that what you said, Chuck?
We want them to see Christ in us, not in us. We want them to believe when we acknowledge what God has done for us in our lives as righteous.
Okay. Does God still work miracles today? Okay, see, we typically, you know, like, yeah, well, he did all that, but that, all those miracles have ceased, and so they, you know, what kind of a God do we serve? Does he still work miracles necessarily in the same way he did back then? Okay, in terms of allowing people, individuals, to lay their hands on people or whatever and perform healing or things of that nature. I don't see any evidence of him having done that, okay? There are those who claim that they can do that, like, you know, was it Oral Roberts, who has a big university that he's, you know, says he needs to have more money for, or God's going to take his life if he does, you know, and so on. If you have the ability to heal people by laying on your hands, why do you need a university hospital to accomplish that kind of thing? But there's a lot of charlatans out there that are claiming, okay, but I've not seen any evidence that God is doing that. I'm not saying he hasn't, but I just haven't seen the evidence of it. But does that mean that God's not working miracles? Okay, that it certainly doesn't mean that he can't. It's just that he chooses to do things, I understand, in a different way today. But he's still doing miracles. Right. We see people, and we, you know, look at our prayer board and see the way that God has healed people from some of the physical things that he's healed in answer to our prayers. And there have been situations where doctors have said, I can't explain it. You know, and probably one of the most recent that comes to mind is the whole situation with Brian Sides. Doctors writing him off, saying, and they, I don't know how he lived. You know? So my point here is that, first of all, we need to have the faith that tells us that God does and can still work miracles as he chooses. Those miracles may not always look the same as they did back then, but they're miracles nonetheless. Okay? And the effect of them is what we're looking for. What was the effect of miracles back then? They were to bring people to believe. And we see those kinds of things happening today, especially when it comes to health issues. But even with people who, you know, and Chuck, I think this is probably what you were alluding to, is the idea we look at someone and their life is just a mess, and it's like that's the last person in the world you would think would ever give their life to Christ. Right, but dude, how did that happen? Go and look at Johnny Langford. I know Johnny's got a lot of struggles going on, and he's not been as faithful as, you know, he needs to be. But you know, he's another situation where he was outside of the Lord and had absolutely no interest in, you know, in the Lord whatsoever. In the hospital, the doctors and the nurses had written him off. He's going to die. Okay. And Johnny not only didn't die, okay, but he came to the Lord. How did that happen? Is that not God working? You know, with the medical situation as well as the spiritual situation? You can't convince me otherwise. Okay. My point here is that do we not need to be looking at different circumstances that we find, especially when it comes to evangelism? We're looking at this impossible situation with someone that there's no way in the world this person wants to be a Christian. Okay? And asking God to do something with this person that will get their attention, that will cause them to open their heart and their mind to His will and His word, that they might be saved.
I mean, a miracle was one of the miracles in my life was just this last night. We had a get together, and the man that I hated and that hurt my family that I probably would have killed his time. I hated for 8 years. I hated that man with every bottom of my feet. I'd be anywhere. His talk would come into my mind.
Let me ask you this, was the miracle work on you or him? Sometimes we need to be praying and asking God to work the miracle on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that. Verse 31, here's the results. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So at least one of the specific things they prayed about, God answered immediately, didn't He? They asked for boldness to speak the word, and He gave it to them. So we look at some of these things that they are praying about and praying for. There's a message there for us. We've got the same mission, do we not? That's what we've been saying all along. The mission is the same. It hasn't changed since it was given to them. It's the same mission for us today. Right? We need to be praying using the power of prayer, just like they did, to accomplish the same mission. Right? And going to God and asking for what He's already decided to be done, for guidance, for His help, okay, for His Spirit to enable us. For boldness, and for miracles to happen in our lives and in other people's lives, so that what He wants to happen will happen. Okay? All right, next week, Wesley is going to be teaching class. Have you decided what you're going to teach? Are you going to continue with this, or are you going to do something different? Okay, all right. So the following week when we come back, we're going to be looking at the message that they were sharing, that being Jesus. Okay, we're going to focus on Jesus. You hear me ask people all the time, what's the word?
Jesus
is the word. All right, and that's what we'll focus on. Thank you all very much.